I'm Bill
Blaze.
And this is Ryan.
And this is The Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet.
Best one.
And that includes yours. I know you're listening. So, this is going to be the mini show for the month of February 2022. And we're going to talk about whatever we damn well please. There's a bunch of gaming topics that I have on tap, including that there Nintendo Direct that just happened yesterday.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's a lot going on with that one.
Which was a hoot.
Oh, it was good.
Do you guys like RPGs? I happen to do. This was a great show.
Yeah, that's a good one. Where are the RPGs? There was the Triangle thing. The
Triangle Strategy, which we already knew about.
Yeah, Fire? Some kind of Fire Emblem game?
So, they opened this. So, here's what happens. They open the show, and I'm watching it, you know, as they're broadcasting it. And, you know, you see the characters marching around. They got their swords and shields. It's like, this is Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The second, same thing. This is, like, I saw that armor, like, the one. Oh, the fucking foot. I'm like, Fire Emblem. Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, immediately, like, oh, no, this is it. This is Fire Emblem. This is from, they're doing another, and here we go. A new Fire Emblem. This is going to be so great. And then comes the title on Fire Emblem Warriors. And then, oh, no.
Yeah.
And immediately, that, like, deflated the entire thing. It's like, oh, no, it's going to be one of those directs, isn't it? Turns out it wasn't. But, yeah, I mean, what was it? Fire Emblem Warriors, Three Heroes or something?
Yeah, it's focused on Three Houses.
Three Hopes. Right.
Wait, what? Three Hopes. Yeah. Okay.
Three
boats?
No. Three of Atlanta's finest strippers, Three Hoes. Yeah.
I mean, at least it's Atlanta, not Tampa.
Oh, of course, yeah. You don't want to have scurvy.
But, I mean, so, yeah, like you were saying, Wes, it's based on the story events of Three Houses. And, I mean, I guess when I was watching it, my main question was, why? Like, did we need a retelling of
Three Houses? I mean, are they going to tell the story again?
I think it is just basically a retelling of the events of Three Houses is what it looks like. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. There's something so unnerving about the bloodless nature of hundreds dying at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't, like, if this was like throwing human bodies into a grinder, you'd be like, this is so extremely violent. But it's like they're all just the same little soldier guys getting slapped around.
They're just flinging up into the air like rag dolls.
It's kind of silly.
So these Fire Emblem games are usually based around these massive conflicts that are happening between, like, nations and ideologies. And there are always just tons of, like, nameless, faceless people clashing against each other and having these giant bloodbaths. But for whatever reason, everyone's focused on your small group of misfits, and it's all about you.
Yeah. This is the Saved by the Bell logic, I think. Not the Saved by, like, the Bell looks like a violent show or anything, but it's like, this is a school.
Right, it's not Degrassi.
This is a school of, like, 3,000 people, right? And yet, no matter the circumstances, whether you're talking about the chess club or the AV club or the football team, it's always around the same five kids. Like, the yearbook is going to be 60% of them.
It's the Harry Potter. It's the Harry Potter thing.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
Some kids are probably just there to learn math.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
Like, they just need an education. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just all about this one kid that...
I just want to be an architect, man. I didn't sign up for this shit.
Yeah, just...
So what's the deal with these, the Dynasty Warrior-style games? Like, I feel like they make so many of them. Are they not popular here? Like, or is this, like, a Japanese thing?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it is...
Is it that it's so easy to make one of these
Which
games?
Is funny, because the actual Dynasty Warrior franchise by itself is kind of like... dropped like a rock. Nobody gives a shit about
There's
that.
There's a new one coming out this month.
With this whole...
Nobody knew.
Nobody cares.
Meanwhile, there's like a Zelda one that's constantly getting updates.
So it seems like these Dynasty Warriors team-ups that Tecmo Koei and Nintendo are doing are part, like, the most successful in these Dynasty Warriors-style game. Age of Calamity was a pretty big hit.
It was good.
But yeah,
I want to get back to it at some point. I keep interrupting you.
For whatever reason, they're like, okay, yeah, now we're going to do a Fire Emblem one again. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's...
The last one was fine?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I'm not mad that it's happening or anything. It's just weird that this is what you're doing with Fire Emblem next.
I mean, there's better things you guys could do with your lives.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it looks to be pretty standard Warriors game fare. It's not special or anything. But yeah, it's out on June 4th. June 24th, sorry, June 24th. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, that's going to be an easy pass for me.
Right. But, you know, they picked up things again.
So buy three copies. I got it. I got it. So covered. Don't worry about it.
Perfect. Advance Wars, Reboot Camp. We did get a confirmation for the April 8th release date. It's funny, though, because on the Switch eShop, it's been listed as April 8th for a while now, but for whatever reason, Nintendo had not yet double-confirmed that, because they're the one who listed on the eShop. But yeah, here we go. So the date stuck. I'm pumped. I'm 100% in for this one.
Yeah, same. I love this game. It seems like they're doing a lot of quality of life stuff, too. It's not just the graphics.
I'll borrow one of your guys's.
Yeah, there was one thing that I noticed that stood out to me. There's a feature where you can just do a turn reset.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, like, I don't know that I've ever been in a situation, at least in, like a war room scenario or even, like, 99% of the main missions where, like, that one turn really broke me. You know, it's not that style of tactics game to where, you know, everything is going to be super meticulous. I mean, maybe the exception to that is in Advanced Wars 2, the last couple of missions, you have, like, your limited number of units, and you have to be meticulous about where things are going to go. So maybe the turn reset comes in handy there.
What are you talking about? And, like, Fire Emblems and everything. I remember you used to do, what was the one that came out on the Wii?
The big Radiant one. Dawn.
Radiant Dawn. You did, like, save states after, like, every turn.
Well, Advanced Wars isn't Fire Emblem. They're very different tactical games. And I was doing those save states to make sure I was getting optimal level ups. So if I had, you know, a Myrmidon or Swordmaster character, and they didn't gain plus one to speed, skill, and strength at their level up, like, no, load. Try again. Reroll.
I think the game you do that with is XCOM. Mm. There are times in XCOM where it's like, if you're not constantly just saving the game, where it's like, your sniper has like an 82% chance to hit, but whiffs, and then it's just like now exposed to everybody. Like that shot was fucking crucial.
It blows the entire turn.
Yeah, the mission depended on that shot connecting. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, because I'm just going to be restarting now.
Yeah, that's one of the most infuriating things when I was playing XCOM 2. Was I built this squad and I had them all like customized, and they're starting to build out their skill trees and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'd have this one fight where one of the big, what do they call, like, the behemoth, like the super boss characters would show up, and like, well, now this fight is fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I am not equipped to deal with that guy.
Oh, spoken dialogue now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the COs. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Online battles, which is going to be cool for the war room, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm totally pumped for this one. I'm 100% down. No Man's Sky is out this summer. This was surprising, but I have no interest.
I played it a bit. It's these kind of games, I don't know. You're just kind of wandering around and you're all by yourself and you're just like,
You're selling it to me.
I think it's the point of it. I think it's like supposed to be sort of
serene and
a peaceful gaming experience where you're not like, where's the next ammo clip so I can go shoot that thing in the face kind of attitude.
Yeah, it's a weird exploration Minecrafty kind of game.
With a lot of that cliched setup of like needing to find parts to repair your ship and stuff like that, like,
yeah,
I don't know. And as I understand it, this was a game that got trashed a bunch on launch because it had issues. Now we're getting probably the more refined, cleaned up.
I think it was issues. I think it just didn't have all the stuff that it was promised.
Yeah, it wasn't fully featured. I think there might have been. I'm not following this game very closely at all at the time. There might have been some technical issues, but basically,
this was also like 3 years ago. This game has been out for a while.
Yeah, it was also, they kind of got into a situation where it's not a huge studio that made this game. It was a very small team, and they kind of got sucked into this hype vortex, and Sony started promoting the game on like E3 and stuff. Like, it's a really cool concept for a game, but it kind of turned into like, this is going to be this huge AAA mega hit for the PlayStation. And
and the guy behind this game, like Kyle or whatever, was like, I didn't expect all this.
Right. Cool that we're getting all this press, but there's a lot of expectations now.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a ton of updates over the years, and they really have added a lot. Like in that trailer, he's like flying around in some kind of spacesuit. I'm like, I didn't even know that thing was in the game. Like, there's a lot going on with that.
Yeah, I think it's one of the big success stories about like a sort of reclamation project, which good for them. But I think
sticking with it.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of set a bad precedent, though, to where these bigger studios and publishers can now release a product that is unfinished. So like, no, here's our roadmap for completing it.
What was that Castlevania game?
No. Then you're not talking about a big publisher at that point.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm talking about things like Fallout 76. I'm talking about the bullshit that Bethesda puts out.
Yeah.
Or Microsoft.
So now, all their stuff is bullshit. Fallout. All right, 76 was. Fallout 4 was great.
Sounds like a day one purchase for John then, right?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Okay.
Nebulous summer release date, but I'm clearing my entire summer.
Good.
For No Man's Sky. Should. Mario Strikers Battle League. That was a nice surprise.
I saw that, and the first thing that went through my head was, Jeff's going to have to buy a Switch now.
Everyone should buy a Switch.
This would be the thing that causes Jeff to buy a Switch.
It's out on June 10th, and, you know, when humanity dies because we're killing the planet and the aliens come and dig up our civilization, I hope they find a copy of Mario Strikers and think this is how soccer was played. And we have these big stadiums all over the world because it's the world's favorite sport for some reason. And like these are the arenas where, you know, there were explosives running around and they
grabbed 4-on-4.
They grabbed the ball with their hands and lit it on fire.
I noticed that a couple of times and I was like, that's outside. Like, I mean, I was fine with them just like literally beating the shit out of each other, but the second they held the ball with their hands, right. I was like, this is the line.
No, this is
the point where I'm not sure we're playing this soccer anymore.
Chaos netball that barely resembles soccer. They even described it. I watched the trailer again, they described it as, quote, a 5-on-5 game like soccer. They even call it, it's a game like soccer.
And the way that Taco Bell is traditional Mexican food.
Yeah, but all that being said, I'm completely for this game. I'm excited.
I'm super pumped that they're doing another one. This is really cool. This is a really cool announcement.
It's gonna be really great.
When it comes to these Mario sports games, I like the chaotic energy, and I like how they get nuanced with all the wrong stuff, or all like the stuff you wouldn't think would need like all the nuance and attention, like fucking buying equipment and armor for your soccer game. Cool. I'm totally like, good. You've made a video game and not a soccer simulator. I like that. Yeah. I prefer my sports games. I prefer golf because there is no sense of competition. Whatever competition is like, okay, now it's your turn. It'd be like just the shootout version of playing soccer.
I just hope there's another hammerhead, bro. Because in that game, it's special as he jumped up and just started chucking hammers at everybody. Right.
Luigi controls the weather. It's like he has a special song, just introduces a tornado, and these are worth 2 points. There's a 2-point shot in this soccer game. Waluigi running in shorts will now haunt me forever. Yeah. I cannot unsee that. I'm not going to buy it. But I love
it. What are you talking about?
I love that
this exists. You totally are going to buy this.
No, there's
you're getting
this. There's too many other games.
You're getting this. There's too many other games. There's no way you're not. You're getting this.
I'm not. So I'm 100% positive that Nintendo listens to this podcast. Because I wasn't going to buy Splatoon 3. I wasn't going to do it. And, you know, on this podcast, I've said, you know, I'm probably not going to buy Splatoon 3 because Splatoon 2, like, I got a lot of mileage out of, but I don't think I need another one. And then, like, I always follow it up with, but I really like Salmon Run.
And then this, like,
they showed exclusively Salmon Run. They're like, oh, you're not going to buy it, motherfucker? Yes, you are. Shit. I mean, I might. I might now. Like, the odds that I was going to buy it have now risen from, like, 1% to, like, 49%. So, yeah, it's out.
What's going to push you over the 50?
What else is coming out? You know, if this is, like, this is out this summer, we don't have a solid release date yet, but if it's out sometime in, like, mid-July and there's not much else around it and all the other super long RPGs that I'm playing I'm done with, you know, maybe. Or maybe I'll just get Mario Strikers. We'll see.
I don't really think of squids and salmon as having any kind of, like, a
Rivalry
in nature, you know? Like, some animals you kind of get. It makes sense that this one, like, you know, like, the elk would not, like, the beaver or something. Or the beaver as well. You know what? I don't think anyone likes the beaver. Let's just start with that. But
beaver's the outcast of the animal kingdom.
Right.
Like, they're just like Poindexter Wolverines.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're like buck teeth and their thick glasses.
You know their teeth will keep growing to the point where they die if they don't routinely chew things to dull them down.
Same thing with like I don't think it's deer. Is it deer's like Some animals' horns will grow around and, like, go up into their own skulls.
Sounds like a mountain goat or something.
Yeah. If they don't, like, break it off on trees and rocks and shit.
Well, nature is cruel.
which is a very, very slow and painful death.
I wonder what the evolutionary imperative for that was. Like, why was that, like, the natural selection? Like, it's just continuous horn growth.
Yeah, I actually was watching a thing about the aesthetics of beauty and why it's important that things be beautiful and how we all perceive beauty in certain ways. And a lot of it has to do with symmetry. Mm-hmm. But one of the big things is like, why do we see these certain characteristics of animal as better? And it's like, the goat with the biggest horns is, from a female goat's perspective, the one that appears probably the healthiest and best to mate with. For something that's, if you were like looking for something on a tree, you would look for the tree that grows the biggest and forks cleanly, not the one that's like all gross and falling over and stuff. So, you know, I'm sure there is some, in the long run, some reason for why, you know,
yeah,
all that happens.
Mm.
You know what's not an attractive animal? Salmon. So, this salmon run looks fun.
Delicious, though.
Delicious. But this salmon run looks fun.
Oh, yeah.
What about squids, though? You know, squids, what do you think on the scale of 1 to 10? How hot are you on squids?
Well, you know me and tentacles.
Yeah.
I don't like squids or octopus, any sort of, like, encephalopod. I find them creepy.
They are very creepy.
Your brother Jeremy also seems just terrified of octopuses.
Mm.
Like, not like dislikes them, like terrified of them.
Dez really likes octopus. Like, she like watches videos of them like doing like really gross things, like squeezing their giant bodies into tiny jars and shit.
Well, they can get in.
I think they're too intelligent.
Yeah, the only solid part of them is their beak, so they can go into or out of anything, no smaller than their beak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which again, fucking creepy. Stay away from me.
Right. And she's like watching a video of people who have an octopus as, I suppose, as a pet.
God, how is that a thing?
A vile, disgusting pet. And like they were testing like if like it recognized them. So they like bring a stranger into the house and like go through the routine of like feeding it souls to see if it like reacted the same way. And then like the owner put on a mask to see if it reacted the same way. And like it does have some sort of like recognition, as most animals do. Maybe not most, but most animals who use as pets do. If a stranger comes in the house, the cat's gonna fucking hide, and Sherlock's gonna be like, "Who the fuck are you? Oh, hey, we're friends now."
This is gonna seem, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but my coworker got a pet turtle, and she told me today, it's like, "I think I put too much water in the turtle tank before I left." I was like, "Does he have anything to stand on?" I was like, "Not really. He just kind of has to stick his head up a little bit." But turtles can sleep for like a half hour underwater. And I just got this mental image of this turtle essentially like almost waterboarding all day. Just falling asleep and then waking up terrified having to keep swimming. Like it just...
Well, it's a turtle, God. Not a tortoise. Like it lives in the water, right? Because you're like...
Yeah, but I mean, things get tired. I mean, imagine just swimming the entire day unable to stop. Oh, no, it's just a weird image that popped in my head of this thing just slowly drowning throughout the day.
I'm just going to not emotionally invest in this scenario at all. I think it's if she kills this turtle, it's as good as if she keeps it alive.
I told her, it's like just piles of rocks so it has something to stand on and then make them a little pool. Like, don't make it tread water for 12 hours in the day.
So Square Enix brought a lot of the deep cuts to this Nintendo Direct. They actually quite a bit of stuff showing at this presentation. But the stuff they show, like Front Mission coming out this summer, I like Front Mission, but who the fuck knows about Front Mission?
I don't know anything about Front Mission.
Right. This is like, and they confirmed that they're doing another one before the first one's even out. It's coming out in the future.
Well, they're just remakes. They're just remasters.
Right. These are remakes of Front Mission 1 and 2, which one was for the Super Nintendo. I think 2 might have been as well, or the PS1.
Like, I thought they were like Armored Core when I saw this. Like, no, they're bringing an Armored Core to Nintendo?
No, they're tactical games. They're tactical mech games. Mm-hmm. Chrono Cross, they're doing a Chrono Cross remaster. That might be the most mainstream thing they did.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'm on board for that. I never actually played Chrono Cross.
It's out April 7th. It is up-res, because they didn't really do too much work to the visuals of it. Mm-hmm. It is running at the higher resolution, but otherwise it looks very much like the PS1 game. They are making some quality of life upgrades as well, such as being able to switch off random battles, which I think is good, because I've played a bit of Chrono Cross, and I think the battles might be one of the weaker points of that game. But I don't want to judge too harshly because I've only played maybe 7 or 8 hours in this game. That's quite lengthy. But it comes with the Radical Dreamers as a pack-in, which is sort of like this connective tissue between Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross, and it's a text adventure game, to kind of use like a loose genre definition.
And I don't want to play Chrono Cross Zorg Edition, like I know.
But like, goddamn, that is a fucking deep cut. Radical Dreamers, like, they're really appealing to the deepest part of the fan base of these. And like, Live Alive, they're doing a full remake of that, not Chrono Cross, but this Super Nintendo game called Live Alive, which never released outside of Japan. That's coming out July 22nd.
And like, the beginning of that, I was like, this looks kind of meh. And then I slowly got more and more positive on it as it went on.
Actually, doesn't look bad. It's using the Octopath visual style, so it looks really nice. Yeah, I think it looks like a solid, probably retro in its mechanics, RPG. I don't know. I'm actually pretty excited for that. I think it looks legit. But you know what? I bet Square is pissed about that Disney Racer.
Oh, yeah. Disney Speedstorm.
Right. Because they're releasing their Chocobo racing game pretty soon. And then Disney's just like, oh, yeah, we're releasing a kart racer too. And it's fucking free. So, that's out this summer. Yeah. Anybody care?
No.
No, I don't
either. I don't even care about the Chocobo racer.
Yeah, I think that's also a pretty niche endeavor. And I bet that Disney and Square are both pissed off that Nintendo's like, oh yeah, by the way, 48 more courses in Mario Kart. I mean, geez, I guess that means new Mario Kart 9 on Switch.
Do you think they talk and, like, I don't know, they're just like teenagers, these companies, and they just get jealous. Be like, oh yeah, well, I'm coming out with, like, what is the chances that these three racing games like this come out in 1 year like this?
I think that there is some sort of communication between at least like the platform holder and the publishers. But like, okay, well, we want to bring this game and this game. So they try to align some sort of scheduling. I think that information that Disney and Square has is probably very limited in terms of what Nintendo is doing themselves. And, you know, Nintendo, I don't know if they did or if they would, but it would behoove them to play nicely and not release Mario Kart DLC on the same day as Chocobo Racing GP.
Oh, no, no, no. Everybody else needs to adhere to Nintendo's schedule when it comes to that.
But see, that's the thing. I don't think Square Enix knew that Nintendo was going to be dropping DLC. Nintendo might have, like, nudged them and said, like, hey, you're going to want to get this out a few months before this date. And they'd be like, why? You're just going to want to do that.
You're just going to, yeah.
Because, yeah, there are a lot of rumors going around about Mario Kart 9 coming to Switch. I did not think that it was a very strong possibility before all this DLC because Mario Kart 8 has sold like 50 million copies and continues to sell. So they really wouldn't have much motivation to release another one. But, you know, if they drop $25 DLC that basically quadruples the size of the game, and this DLC is continuing to come out throughout 2023, I think it's pretty safe to say that Mario Kart 9 is going to be on Switch 2.
Pretty much you buy a Switch, they grab Mario Kart. That's 90% of the Switch. I won't say that much, but majority of the Switches I sell, they're grabbing Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo had their, I think it was the Q3 investor briefing a couple of weeks ago, or last week. And They sold 100 million Switches, and their number one selling game is Mario Kart 8, and they sold like 50 million. A 50% attach rate. That math was super easy. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's insane to have a platform and like half of your owners have this game. But yeah, this 48 more courses. Holy shit. That's a lot of tracks to add. Or yeah, $25. Or if you have like the expansion pass, the upgraded Nintendo online, the $50 one, they're just like, oh yeah, have it for free. Which I didn't expect them to do, because they did that with some Animal Crossing DLC. So now, if you already have that, you get all these courses. It's pretty great. March 18th. Let's see. I'm gonna backtrack on my notes here for a second. A couple of quick hits. Star Wars, The Force Unleashed, April 20th, Assassin's Creed, SEO Collection. We already talked about that one.
Both good games.
SD Gundam Battle Alliance. Can you vouch for that one, too?
I'm a big fan of Gundam. Mm. I'll admit a stupid little habit that I've been doing lately. Not a habit, a little side hobby. I've been building a little Gundam figures again.
Oh, nice. Yeah, like how big?
They're like
little models?
Yeah,
little models. Is that why you have been playing Pokemon?
I've been building them at night to like unwind to go to bed. Uh-huh. Like I'll build those. I've been watching Dimension 20 D&D. So it's these guys just playing D&D. It's really funny. So I'm watching that while I build these little figures and everything. It's just full nerd out. It's the nerdest, saddiest thing in the entire world. I got this little mat that I make them on
with his hard-boiled eggs. Them out. And his cameo tea.
I was. Oh my god. I was being totally supportive of you building models. Like, hey, no, good for you. That's a legit hobby. But like, I'm building robot models while watching other people play D&D. We need to have an intervention.
I'm so alone, John. I'm so alone.
Oh, boy.
I got four of them built. I'm building my fifth, and I got four other ones sitting there. I found them dirt cheap.
I'm not worried about your financial future.
But, I mean, I only had a few, and then I found, like, Hobby Lobby had one for like 40% off. I was like, fuck it, let's just grab some.
Oh, man.
I'm so alone, guys. I'm ordering hobby tools online and little stands for them.
Here's what we do. We make a Tinder account for him. And then the first photo is him lined up with all his Gundam toys.
We may have to. But you know what?
You will find the right woman. Right. It will take a while. The woman that reaches out to you with that profile pic is like your dream girl.
She's right. That's the thing. Like, I'm 100% supportive of that sort of honesty because you don't want to have to be deceitful and you want to have someone who's going to share the same interests.
Yeah. Well,
so you're gonna repel. You're gonna repel a ton.
Oh, good. Yeah,
but you're gonna attract the right ones. That's the point.
So this Gundam game looks interesting.
Well, you have something to say about it?
But they're chibis, so yeah. I'm like,
Oh, okay. Now you're being judgmental. Yeah, okay.
I am. Also, the only combat they showed was them walking on the ground. Things like flew in space. I watched a little bit of it back in the day, and I remember most of the fights in the fucking sky in space, not on the ground.
Guys, so, get dies.
Yeah, you gotta be real self conscious about this all. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
A couple more quick hits. MLB The Show 22. It's coming April 5th.
Oh, they had the Ohtani up there.
Yeah, they had double Ohtani.
Yeah.
They also had that narrator who was like weirdly gravelly.
Oh, I love that. I love because it's one of those like through a filter thing where it's like that's what they think we think baseball people sound like.
Right.
Oh, I just skipped over this. I just didn't care.
Okay, how do we like sell this baseball game to all the weebs who are watching this?
To me, he sounds more like a grizzled like Vegas like low rung boxing announcer.
Mm.
I feel like that's the voice that he has.
But he got more New Jersey as the trailer went on. By the end, he was like full New Jersey accent.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean,
I'm pretty sure as they were pulling the mic away from him, I heard a, hey, I'm walking here.
Good Lord. But I don't have much interest in playing MLB The Show. I'm in a pretty dark place about baseball right now. It's not looking good, you guys.
I don't know if I was going to be baseball next year.
I'm going to be okay.
There's a good chance there's going to be a lockout next year.
Oh, God.
They're already
this year.
Yeah. They're almost certainly going to miss games at this point. Just,
well, what's a lockout?
So right now, or we'll take this quick tangent, put me on the clock for 2 minutes. That's all we're doing.
It's the mini show, man. Keep going.
There is an agreement between like the baseball owners and the baseball players about things like issues surrounding the game of baseball, minimum salaries, salary caps if they exist, how long before players are able to reach free agency out of their rookie contracts, how contracts are structured, and how raises work in baseball.
Revenue sharing.
Things like they deal with revenue sharing, other things like rules, like if there's going to be a designated hitter for any particular league, these sorts of things. And these contracts get renegotiated every so often, though this last one was in 2016, so they had to renegotiate a new one, but they're so divided on so many issues that the owners were like, okay, our agreement from 2016 has expired. We don't have a new agreement yet, So players are, in quotes, locked out. They're not allowed to associate with any sort of team management. They can't use any sort of team facilities for training or anything like that. They're basically unemployed right now.
This seems like it's very fixable.
Right. So what now, like, the big disagreements are...
It always gets framed, because this happens in all of the major professional sports, it always gets framed from the media to us as the billionaires and the millionaires are fighting over who gets so much money.
Mm-hmm.
As if to say, like, we shouldn't care about the players' concerns, when throughout the history of professional sports, the players are the ones getting the raw deal.
Right.
So, you know, don't buy into that both sides are bad. It's the turd burger and the shit sandwich.
It's fine, guys. Let's just call Keanu and say, hey, we're playing a team together.
It's funny because
that's what happened with hockey. Hockey actually did, what do you call them?
Replacements?
Scabs or
something. Yeah, replacement players.
Yeah, yeah. They actually just fielded teams entirely made of amateurs.
And they did that.
And it was terrible.
In baseball as well, in the mid-90s, they had replacement players. And of course, it was bad. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was really bad. And there were some players who essentially crossed the picket line and played anyway. And they got ostracized real hard by the players' union. But anyway, this is all to say, like, until they get a new agreement on how they're going to resolve all the issues that, you know, they're butting heads about, players aren't, you know, they're not going to do spring training. They're not going to be, like, conditioning with the teams. So they have to have a certain amount of time to ramp up to the season. If they are able to reach an agreement at this point, they're going to have, like, a really quick spring training. There's a strong possibility that if they don't reach an agreement, like, soon, like, in a couple days, they're going to have to postpone games in the season, try to cram them in a different way, or just have a shortened season.
I feel like there's just way too much money in the game not to just try to get something quick. I mean, wouldn't it cost them more money just to not have games than to just pay a little bit more?
I think the owners have more to lose, because in the last agreement back in 2016, the owners really won out on a lot of really key issues. They have more to lose by both caving in and missing games. They're kind of in a tough position, and I think if the players just hold out for long enough and games are missed, they'll eventually get most of the things they want.
Mm. Yeah.
But anyway, that Kirby game looks so delightfully weird.
I typically don't play Kirby games, but this I'm 100% on board for. It looks so goofy and fun.
Out March 25th. Yeah, I fucking dig, like, just the oddity. Like the what is it called? Like, the super stretchy mode where he goes over a
mouthful.
Car. The mouthful mode.
Oh, it's so dumb.
And they're like, oh, we need Kirby to have a projectile. What do we turn him into? Oh, a vending machine. Clearly.
It also looks extremely painful.
Right.
Like, he just has that look in his eyes, like, please just kill me.
My favorite thing was, I was watching this at work with my work friend Kate. We're in my office watching this Nintendo Direct while we're on the clock.
Office?
Yeah. And they got to the point where, like, oh, and he turns into a cone for when he needs a piercing attack. Like, yeah, because that's what I think of when, like, I need to pierce something. Let me go find my fucking road cone.
It's made of rubber.
What are you talking about? But it's all just, like, to fulfill a function. So, like, I like that it doesn't make any goddamn sense. But, this is, like, got the Mario Odyssey DNA all over it, especially with these transformations, because it did, like, rapid fire. Like, there's a light bulb and a ring that, you know, puffs out air.
But it looks a little bit more contained than Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey looked like a big open world, kind of go and explore. This looks like there's clear routes and...
Yeah, yeah, it kind of looks like a mixture of...
There's walls.
Of, like, Mario 3D world
with
some of, like, the transformation mechanics of Mario Odyssey. Because, like you were saying, the levels look more like here's your sort of path of progression, and you're working your way toward this goal that's going to be like the end of the stage. Whereas Mario Odyssey is like, here's your open area, find all the goals you want.
Mm-hmm. These all sound like insults, though. It's like cone mouth, you know, scissor lift mouth, like all of the names of the things. You know, it just sounds like you're coming up with some kind of inappropriate slur.
That scissor lifts look so, like, painful for him. Like, it just like, it stretches him out.
If somebody called you light bulb mouth, you'd be offended.
Yeah, that would be... That'd be real painful.
I wish you wouldn't.
Also, I'm not really prepared to have these little wolf things be the villains.
Those adorable things.
Yes. It's a certain murder.
Can't we just like? I don't know. Are we sure that Kirby's the good guy?
I don't think we can be absolutely sure of that. No.
Yeah.
But we can be sure that, you know, those wolf guys are imprisoning these other creatures. Maybe those other creatures are not like political prisoners. Maybe they've committed crimes. The Waddle Dees.
Plus, they said you guys look like dorks.
They look like dorks.
And hey, maybe they have information that Kirby doesn't about the future, maybe. And that it's important to keep these things under control, or else they'll take over.
But I feel like that is solved with the conversation, though.
I mean, the vending machines are full. This world seems like it's in an okay spot.
And they did show like a shadowy image of King Dedede, and he looked pretty sinister.
Is that how you judge the condition of a world? Is if the vending machines are full?
Yeah, because it means that there's a person who's employed to go fill them up, and he's on the ball.
I don't know. The vending machines worked in Shin Megami Tensei 5, and that was a ruined hellscape.
Yeah.
Although, maybe they didn't function, because you might have been.
But there weren't none of those cute little dog things, though.
There were no cute little dogs, no.
Ipso facto.
No, there's no cute dogs in Shin Megami Tensei. There's horrifying demons and sexy ladies. That's all you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's a small thing about the Truman Show that I realized the other day? It was brought to me by a YouTube video to my attention. But the scene where he's talking to his best friend and he's loading the vending machine, when Truman turns his back to walk away, he takes the stuff out of the vending machine because the scene's over. But then when he turns back around, he's like, oh shit, and he starts putting stuff back in the vending machine.
I gotta keep looking busy.
I was like, oh wow, I didn't even do like that. But John, there's a town building mechanic.
There's a town building mechanic. Holy Kirby. There's like a movie theater for some reason. I doubt they're showing Moonfall. But yeah,
they're exclusively showing Moonfall.
That'd be funny.
There's all 12 screens showing Moonfall.
There's a weapon upgrading. So like, I don't know if it's going to work. Like, anytime you do any sort of like power absorption, it's going to revert to the level that you've upgraded it to. Or if maybe there's like some sort of like Kirby arsenal, you can head out on a mission and equip one of these things before you go. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out on March 25th. I'm pumped. I got it pre-ordered.
See, this kind of game looks a lot of fun, and I get excited about them, but at the same time, I know if I buy this game, I'm going to play it for like 3 hours and then never get back to it.
You might be able to get through it. They're short.
Yeah.
Kirby games aren't typically very long.
I won't play it. I'm just worried.
I think there might be co-op. We could do some co-op.
We could do some co-op. That sounds good.
We have to fight Ripley for the second controller, though.
Oh, no.
She loves Kirby. Sports Story out April 29th. Sorry, not Sports Story. Goddamn, I got my hopes up there for a second. Nintendo Switch Sports out April 29th. Holy shit, they got arms and legs, you guys. You guys remember Wii Sports from fucking 16 years ago?
I didn't care. I skipped over this part too.
I just have a couple of thoughts. First, one was they have arms and legs. The Miis didn't have arms and legs in Wii Sports.
They were living a horrible, horrible existence.
But also, there's tennis, badminton, and volleyball. And they're all kind of the same, right? Like, that's kind of the same thing. Like, just in terms of the pure mechanical, how you're going to swing the remote.
Yeah. I was at a trivia thing the other day, and that came up as one of the questions. Is what's the summer sport of Canada? And we sat down thinking about it, and we're just like, it's got to be lacrosse. Hmm. It's got to be lacrosse. It's the same fucking sport. Except there's just grass instead of ice. Like,
right.
They even wear pads and knock each other over and get in fights. And then they're throwing a little thing with a stick into a net.
Right.
It's hockey. And of course, we were right. So hockey is the summer sport of Canada, if you were wondering.
Lacrosse?
Oh, so yeah, thank you.
I was wondering, yeah.
They're like polite rednecks. I don't understand what's going on up there.
I mean, not right now they're not being so polite, all those truckers.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Those anti-vax truckers.
Mm-hmm. And golf. Wii Sports Golf, they're adding later in the year. So that's cool. I like that golf game. No baseball, really enough. That was one of the original Wii Sports. And boxing. But no one was asking for that. No one wanted boxing.
No. I almost got knocked out once in boxing.
Those were the days.
You weren't there for that. John, literally, this Wii remote slipped out of John's hand while he was boxing. and clocked me in the temple. So I fell down.
So here's what's happening.
Did you give him a 10 count?
No, he got up. Okay. So here's what's happening. I'm playing Wii Sports. I think Carlos was there. We were playing Wii Sports Boxing, and like, of course, the motion controls in Wii Sports Boxing are awful. They are terrible. They don't work.
No, they're really bad.
And he's like, oh, I'm winning. I'm doing really good. Like, Carlos, like, these controls don't work. Like, I could just fling them around. Nothing is going to happen. It's not going to change the way I'm punching. And I just start, like, twirling them by the cord. And, of course, that's what happened. That's what it is. It windmills Wes on the side of the head.
I was sitting on the floor leaning against the couch, and he was sitting on it, like, right to my left.
Because back in those days, he had to sit on the floor. But, and he never knew that's how it happened.
That's how it fucking happened.
Until today.
You were swinging the goddamn knob.
Yeah. To make a point to Carlos that the controls didn't equate to what you were doing on the screen.
You clocked me in the temple. I went down.
Right, it wasn't intentional, but it was hilarious.
I would count that as a victory, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one in the win column.
I think I've won Wii Sports at that point. Let's get to the last of these real quick. We're running a little bit long here. Taiko Drum Master Rhythm Master is out this year. That's a really deep cut as well. We already talked about the triangle strategy. There's a demo. It's the first three chapters. Data carries over, which is always how you should do a demo.
Looks really good.
Oh, yeah. I've started playing the demo. It is really good. Talky. A lot of talking.
Yeah.
You can skip it, though. Cuphead, the Delicious Last Course DLC is out June 20th. There's a free update to Metroid Dread. If that game wasn't hard enough already for you, you can do a...
Try, I don't want you to do it.
I'm not gonna.
I want you to do it. Come on.
There's too many other games. The free update's out now. You can play one hit kill mode where you die in one hit. That is some sadistic shit. Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings are available now on the Nintendo Switch Online service. It's cool to have these available. I'd like to replay them someday.
Are you skipping over the earlier stuff? There are some games you kind of breeze past.
What'd you have?
Think they're really worth talking about, but there's apparently a Kingdom Hearts pack, and then something called Kloana.
Klonoa is actually a pretty legit 2D platformer. That's a cool game.
Yeah, but the big one that I thought was Portal 1 and 2 are coming to the Switch. That's huge.
Yeah.
Those are funny and entertaining. Fantastic. Yeah, they're legit.
Yeah.
Klonoa, just for reference, that's two games. There was a remake of the, I think it was the first Klonoa on Wii, which I played, and that was the only Klonoa game I've ever played. And that game is part of this pack, and then the second Klonoa game is getting some sort of remake or remaster treatment. That one's out July 8th, and then Portal 2 is just this year. Portal and Portal 2 is just this year at some point.
Nice.
A few other quick hits. Zombie Army 4 is out the 26th of April. I have no idea what that is. Getsu Fumiden Undying Moon is out now. That's a shadow drop. This is a game that Konami made, which is a novelty on its own. Hmm. But it's a 2D side-scrolling action game. Reminds me a bit of...
Do you hold two guns at the same time if you hold down the L button? L and R
buttons. No. No, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
The setup reminds me a bit of like Rogue Legacy. I don't think that this is like a randomly generated, procedurally generated action platform where I think the levels are bespoke, but when you die, you get sent back to, you know, whatever point they send you back to, and you carry some of your like skills or something back with you for another run. Demon Slayer is June 10th, Lego Brawls is sometime in June, and Two Point Campus is May 17th. Xenoblade Motherfucking 3, you guys.
Xenoblade Motherfucking 3.
I'm so happy. I needed a cigarette afterwards. I'm so excited. A lot of talking in that trailer. What I really like when they do Xenoblade trailers is when they show like the big open vistas, which they showed a few of them.
And they look beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
This looks like it's taking place in the same world as the first Xenoblade.
Well, you do get the cat ear people. Who are in Gomot. So, right. I mean... But
they don't have blades.
But, yeah, Xenoblade 2 kind of ended in this weird way where, you know, both Xenoblade 1 and 2 end in this weird way where worlds get recreated. So maybe, like, it's supposed to be an amalgamation of the two. Anyway, that's not important. The important thing is how many lists do you have for me to check off of? That's what I really want out of this game. Yeah, I'm so pumped.
Should I play this one and then go on a 45-minute rant about why this game's garbage?
No. No, you should. Shut the fuck up.
You haven't played Xenoblade 2.
I know I haven't. I'm not going to. You guys, because you guys said it was worse than Xenoblade Chronicles.
No, it's better. No,
there are certain things. While I like them both for different reasons. I think that the combat.
Do you like all of the auto battling and quick time events?
I think that the combat especially is better in Xenoblade 2. Yeah. I really like the battle system they came up with there.
Okay,
it's a lot more fast paced. There's a lot more things to do in the combat.
There's so many like meters and bubbles to fill up. Yeah. Like. And combos to pull off in the right order. Ah, it's delicious. Anyway, how's Pokemon going, you guys?
It's going pretty good. We should save that stuff for the Poke Show.
No, we're going to talk about whatever we want. I want to talk about Pokemon.
Because I haven't played it all week.
I specifically want to talk about a couple of different things about Pokemon Legends Arceus. Do you guys find the world empty and flat?
Not really, no. Do you?
No. But I've heard a couple of podcasts where they complain about the game, about the world being empty and flat. One in particular, I almost shut the thing off immediately. It's like, oh yeah, I'm in the first area. I've only played like an hour or so. I just like left and turned right, and the whole world is empty and flat. Like, you've been into one place, sir.
No, that doesn't sound accurate to me at all.
Yeah, and I guess like, if you're not doing anything like catching Pokemon or battling Pokemon, you could consider the world empty. But there's Pokemon fucking everywhere. Like, oh, yeah. The main attraction for the game, you can't walk 20 steps without bumping into somebody.
I mean, I constantly find myself just like wanting to teleport around, but then just being engaged. Something's trying to fight me, and then I'm like, right. All right, well, I'll run away from you. And it's like, oh shit, there's something over here too. And it's like, there's something over here. And it's like, I spend the next minute just trying to get away from everything's
right
view.
I might start up the game with a particular goal in mind. I want to work on this thing, or I want to get to this point, or I want to explore this area, and then in trying to do that get distracted by five other things, and by the time I'm done it's like, I think I did the thing I wanted to do.
And there's a ton of elevation too. Like, you literally start elevated, and if you walk off the sides you can't get back up, so you have to walk all the way around. You walk forward, and there's a giant mountain in front of you to get to the like middle of the map.
And yeah, I think that there might be parts of the game where you're in a larger open area. Like, it is demonstrably false that the game is flat. There's plenty of points where there's elevation or cliffs or dips or things to, like, geography to work your way around.
I don't see a lot of stuff to explore that's high that we can't get to.
Mm.
That's something that I'm, like, hoping for, to be wrong, because I haven't gotten the ride Pokemon after the Basket Legion, which helps you get up cliffs and shit. So I'm like hoping there's stuff up there to do. Like,
yeah. There have been
look like there's a lot of areas that I can't get to. Like,
there have been a few areas that I've found that I haven't been able to get up just yet. They're not super high though, but I think like one of the important things to remember is, like, this game is not Breath of the Wild. Like, navigating the geography is not the main attraction. And if you had, like, this really intricate geography all over the place, like, how does that affect you being able to interact with Pokemon in the way they want you to? Like, if you are trying to sneak up on a thing, and you're sneaking up on it while also trying to combat the geography, that would be a bad feeling.
Yeah.
If you are in a fight and you're kind of like moving away your way around during this fight, just kind of repositioning your character, and then all of a sudden you walk off a cliff and the fight ends just because you accidentally moved somewhere you couldn't, that would also be a bad time. I think that there are people who are talking about this game and thinking about like, okay, well, what do I really want this to be? And they want it to be Breath of the Wild with Pokemon, and not really understanding like what the implications, like what would that game be that I'm saying that I want? They're approaching it from like a wish list perspective rather than a design perspective.
Which is funny, because in Breath of the Wild, there was certain areas I'm like, oh, that looks cool over there. I don't feel like I need to go over there right now, but when in Pokemon, I'm like, that looks like a cool area. I wonder what the fuck Pokemon I'm gonna find over there. Let's go immediately. Like, I'm driven to go and explore just because I want to find different Pokemon. Like, I just want to see if, like, what's over that there.
And I've also like heard complaints about like, oh well, it seems like when you go to an area, like there's the Pokemon that are gonna spawn there, and they're gonna be the ones that are always there. And like they're like a critique, like they want things just to be kind of scattered around, and be surprised by the Pokemon that are appearing in areas that you've been to before. And I can
doesn't make any fucking sense. It's sort of like saying, I want the Goron to be all over the fucking map. I want them to be in the water too and not on the mountain.
Mm.
Right? Like, there's a reason these people have their specific areas that they're at on a map.
Right, and when you're approaching it from a gameplay design perspective, like, if you're asking people, go catch fucking 40 Ponyta. Could you imagine, like, if you just trying to, like, if you wanted to fill out the list and catch the 20 Ponyta you need in order to, like, get it up to level 10 and get the check off for your Pokedex, and you just had to, like, wander around the world wondering where they were going to spawn next, that would be an awful feeling.
Yeah.
To be able to just like say, okay, today I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to go beat up 20 Psyduck using electric moves and so check that off the list.
Like a randomizer. Okay. Mm.
Well, it's also like, you know, in the older games, if you're playing them and it's like that patch of grass has a 5% chance to spawn a blank. That's not a good thing. That's not like an enjoyable thing of gameplay. It's an enjoyable when it's like, okay, but it's going to be level 18, and most of the stuff that spawns there is level 16 if I use repels, and I'm level 17. Okay, like, that's kind of a clever approach to it, but, like, making you sit there and farm a bunch of squares over and over again to find the Pokemon you want is pointless. So, in that same regard, like, I'm very glad that if they're telling me I need to catch 25 of a thing, that they're not just making me randomly wander around a map.
Mm.
You know? That there's some logic to why, you know, I'm going to find, you know, the Hippowdon in a swamp or, like, in the marsh.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, on top of a mountain.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that from the gameplay perspective, they built a game where they're like, we want you to just go out and catch a bunch of these things. Catching the Pokemon is the primary attraction. And I think from a gameplay perspective, they nailed the mechanics of that.
Also, whoever you were listening to, like, would you consider them, like, a genuine Pokemon fan, or are they just picking this game up because they want to be...
Do you consider them a genuine podcast? Like, they're actually legit? Or is this, like,
one of...
Because I notice a lot of the criticisms I hear about this are people that have no intention of playing the game that don't even know the Switch. they're just upset that other people have a thing they like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone I've listened to has at least played the game. I wouldn't be taking their sort of critiques with any sort of seriousness if they're like, oh no, it just looks ugly.
Were they Sword and Shields in it? Like, I don't like this game because I like Sword and Shield, or I don't like this game because X and Y was a better game.
It was like a 50-50 split. Some of them are pretty new to Pokemon games, or kind of like laps. Like the last one they played might have been like XY or something like that. And then some of them were, you know, played Pokemon games with some regularity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there are some design challenges to what they wanted the game to be that I don't think that they were considering. That said, I think the game should look better, but that's neither here nor there.
At the same time, I have a coworker who asks me every single day when he walks by, hey, do any more physical copies of Arceus come on? I'm like, you're 50 plus hours in the game. Why do you want a physical copy? You did the download. He's like, I want to start a new one, but you can't do that without a physical copy.
Sure, you can. Create a new profile.
You still have to be logged into your Nintendo account.
I think it would be okay.
According to him, you got to be logged in a Nintendo account.
For like maybe online stuff, but no, like,
no, you're right.
If like I have Final Fantasy IX downloaded, if I wanted to, like, an under Dez's profile, play Final Fantasy IX, I could do that.
Interesting.
I don't know what you're talking about then, because I told him, I was like, that was the first thing I said. It was like, you should be able to do that. Just make a new profile. I was like, yeah, it doesn't let me. I'm like, whatever.
Weird.
He just wants to buy another fucking copy of this so he can play it again. That's how devoted he is to this goddamn game.
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Yeah,
having a good time in this game. I found a shiny Bonsly.
Ooh,
the nice. Other day.
Ooh. Go you.
Yeah, that was a hoot. It was in what do they call them? The swarms.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Where are Bonslys?
I found them
Where are they?
Yeah,
I found them in the second area near some ruins. I've not seen a Sudowoodo though.
Mm.
Anyway. Wes, tell me about Lost in Random.
It's a game where I want to be more positive about it. It's enjoyable. I can recommend it, but it's a lot of talking, and the real joy of the game is just its quirkiness and some of the conversations and everything you're having with the townspeople and stuff. But I feel like I'm almost done with it because there's six areas. And it's all about these dice. It all revolves around dice. So there's six areas because there's six sides on the dice. I'm in area five. But the combat feels like it could be better.
Is it like a hack and slash action game?
It is, but the way that the game works is you'll start combat and these enemies respawn, and on the enemies there'll be this like gem, and what you have to do is you have to use your slingshot that doesn't deal damage to shoot the gem to pop these little orbs out, and you gotta collect the orbs to get energy. And then the energy will fill up this little card in the corner of your screen, and when it fills up, you draw a card. And then if you have at least one card drawn and you have a little bit more energy, you can throw your dice and roll it. And the amount that pops up on the dice is essentially your resource to spend to play cards, because they have different costs.
Okay.
So you're popping these gems to get energy to roll your dice to then play cards based on what comes up on your dice.
Okay.
So there's a lot of a roundabout with this.
Seems like a lot of steps.
But through the entire game, there's only basically five different kinds of enemies. You're just fighting those things over and over and over again. And that's where the game's like, all right, it's this fucker again. Like, it's the only difference I've seen is a stronger version of this guy. Mm. Like, that's the only change I'm getting. The boss fights are pretty cool, and there's another kind of combat mechanic that pops up here and there that's pretty interesting. There's no, like, random encounters or random fights, so there's X amount of fights in this game.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So there's nothing random about random encounters. So there's just set locations that there's going to be a fight.
So it's all scripted. If you backtrack, you're not going to like
re-roll. You're not going to refight the fights or anything. Nope. If you backtrack, you can walk back in the room and re-explore it. Okay. That fight's done. So it's just this amount of fights are in the game. When it comes to the cards, there's like five different kinds of cards. There's I think there's five. There's weapon, damage, cheat, defense, and hazard. And so your weapon is, you get a weapon. It's a sword or a spear, a bow, big fucking hammer.
A grenade launcher.
Oh, I wish. And they have different costs to them, and they have different things that they do. It's pretty straightforward. Damage, just as a card that deals damage. A lot of those are pretty lackluster.
How is it different from a weapon?
Because it's like... Like, one of them is a dice shredder, and I hate this thing. It's very weak. Your dice, you can control him in combat. So, if, like, you shoot a guy and he drops orbs, but you don't want to go over there, you can send the dice out to collect the... Because he's got arms and legs. He's a little person. To collect the orbs for you.
Horrifying.
So you
don't have to go.
Yeah. The one on the face is his one eye, and he has arms and legs. And he just walks around.
Oh, God.
When you call back to him, he hops on your back, and he's just holding around your waist. He has arms wrapped around your waist to hold on. Like, it's such a weird...
I take it back. Give me Waluigi in shorts.
But all that card does is, like, there's a beam between you and the dice, and enemies in the middle between you will take damage. And it's not a lot of damage.
Mm.
And it's very tough to control that dice movement. There's a card that I was really excited about. It's this dice where the die will eventually... it's just a card where your die will eventually explode and deal damage to everything. But it will still hurt you. So you have to send him out. But if you send him out too early, he's just going to reset and pop right back to you. So it's really hard to control him when he's away from you to explode. Like, it's killed me a couple of times because I can't control this goddamn dice. And then, you know, cheats are just weird things, like getting extra energy when you whip for your cards, or your cards' costs go down, you know, things like that. Hazards are like little traps, bombs, little areas where they are slowed and stuff like that. But a lot of them are really weak. Like, when it's like this weird frog thing that spits acid arrows, they just spit it in a straight line, and there's like a small arena that you're in, so it's not like you can't aim that shit. Like, it's almost useless. There's a lot of cards that are just useless, so it's kind of a bad design when it comes to that. But the game itself is really quirky. There's a mode in it, certain fights in it, where essentially there's one giant like a piece on board game. And there's little, you gotta move the piece through the board game, and it'll move forward based on what you roll on your dice. And so that's what you're doing. You're rolling your dice to move the piece, and then enemies are there fighting you, and certain spaces that the piece will land in will do certain things. You had to meet certain conditions to allow the piece to move forward more. And there's a lot of different scenarios with those. One of them, I had to move the piece from one end of the map to the other, but there was a wall that's slowly moving on me, so I had to do it quickly. So it was just a lot of hectic, get a lot of energy, fight these guys off, get the dice move, the playing piece moving. There was a mechanic where I had to get these, I had to roll the dice in order for these balls to spawn, and then I had to shoot things for the balls to fall, and I had to get them in a hole all while fighting enemies. Weird little, just different battle scenarios that keep popping up. So it's kind of fun with that, but it's very like Tim Burton art style. It's very dark, and it's just weird, and it's fun, but there's not really any depth to the game. Like, it's just, it's weird. I want to recommend it, but at the same time, I don't think it's amazing. Like, it's still fun. Okay. It was a fun little game. I'm going to beat it. I'm not that far from it, so.
Yeah, I was just looking it up, and it seems like 12 hours seems to be the
yeah, that sounds about right.
Game length. So, yeah, that's pretty
really,
brisk.
Really weird. Just some of the stuff that pop up. It's just a weird game.
That's why I was interested in the game in the first place. It's trading a lot on the sort of quirky visual style of it. Mm-hmm. Just the sort of oddities that they'll show you. I don't know, I think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's just, when it comes to the combat, unless it's one of those weird scenarios with a new objective in the fight, then it's just a matter of, a lot of the fight is me just running around trying to get the energy so I can then do stuff. So a lot of the time, I'm just running around in circles, just trying to get hits in where I can.
I need more energy.
Like, it's weird. I don't know. I'm positive on it, and then I like it. It's okay. Fine.
You're allowed to like it.
Yeah.
I got a couple of games that I finished off. One is Luminous Avenger 2. That one came out last month. This was a really quick game, 3 or 4 hours I was able to get through it. It is a Mega Man-style side-scrolling action platformer. More emphasis on action rather than platforming. It's from Indie Creates. We've talked to them before. They did the Blaster Master Zero games that I really like. They do the Azure Striker Gunvolt games. They did one of these games. This is kind of a spin-off of Azure Striker Gunvolt. They did like the Mega Man Zero games. They've done work in the Mega Man series over the past, you know, a couple of decades. So, you know, they got like the sort of side-scrolling action game pedigree. And I think that they did a really good job with the sort of action mechanics of this. It works a lot like a Mega Man. You are running, you are jumping, you are... instead of shooting, it's more of like a melee attack. You have a big saw blade that pops out of your hand, which is fun. But then there's also a dash mechanic. You dash into an enemy, and that puts like an auto target on them. And then when you're attacking, your attacks become ranged. So a lot of your major fights revolve around, okay, where is my opening to put the target on them, and then just unloading. When you defeat, a lot like a Mega Man game, when you defeat a boss, you get their power. Their power is probably going to be effective on another boss. The game is not difficult. There is never a point where I was like, okay, I need to figure out this boss's weakness in order to be able to move on here. I was able to get through them all very efficiently without figuring that out. However, there are other points throughout the game. If you want to do things like collect all the little tokens and gotchas, where you do need to use power-ups that you got from other bosses to re-enter levels and find all the secrets and stuff. And as far as I know, there's not really... I don't think there's an advantage to collecting all like the little secrets. It doesn't really upgrade you or anything, now that I think about it. It's just something you can do if you want to. There's also like upgrades to your character. There's a currency in the game. You can buy upgrades. Some of them are pretty pricey. It's just things like get you more experience per fight so you level up faster, and leveling up will, you know, increase your health and your basically your mana, your ammunition for using your side weapons. But yeah, pretty cool game. Nice looking game. Nice 2D hand-drawn art style to it. Pretty cool. The other one that I played is called Arietta of Spirits. This one came out last year.
That sounds familiar.
This is a top-down action game, kind of like adopting a sort of Zelda feel to it in terms of the way you're moving throughout the world and the way you're engaging in combat. It's not really an adventure puzzle game like Zelda. This is going to be more focused on, like, your goal is over on that side of this island that you're on. Get over there, fight your way through the enemies in order to get there. and then a little story sequence will initiate, and you'll have to go on to your next goal. This is another really quick game. I think like three and a half hours was my total time clocked, and I did quite a few of the side things you can do just by like exploring around and finding little trinkets or rescuing like these little purple dog things throughout the island that are trapped inside bushes and shit. And yeah, this is another pretty cool little brisk game. Not really much depth to the combat. You're just slashing a sword. You do eventually get like a shield you can use to block or reflect projectiles. There's a couple of boss fights, but nothing really too major. Again, nice looking game. Nice pixel art style or our hand-drawn art style from a top-down perspective. Yeah, this is one I think you stick on the wish list and wait for a sale. See if it drops in price. Because I think by default, it's like $20, which, you know, for a three and a half hour game, I don't know, maybe that's worth it. But I think of like if this one drops down to like a $10, you'd be pick it up.
I grabbed Lost in Random, it dropped down to $14, so like
okay,
that's I think that's worth it. That's definitely worth it for that much.
But that's all I got for games. Ryan, you got anything?
Not really. I haven't been up to all that much. Sorry, I haven't been playing any games. I mean, aside from Pokemon,
building Gundam models.
No building on no models. Oh, I mean, I've seen some movies. Talk about that.
I've seen some movies. What you got?
I saw two movies, but a while ago.
Okay. Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City came out on Blu-ray. I picked that one up.
Oh, good
find. That was well worth a buy.
Have you put it in the player yet? Like any special features or anything?
I just played the movie. I haven't like dived into any special features.
I'm going to need to borrow that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw... So in the theaters, I saw Scream, the new Scream
movie. Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting. It's the technically the fifth Scream, but they just call it Scream. So if you want to have it as a title.
Is it the first one called Scream?
Yeah. So you would probably just say, this is Scream 2022.
Yeah, they do that with like reboots and stuff. And Scream is also a very like...
Was this a reboot?
No.
Oh, I was about to say.
No, however. Like, and long-running series do that every once in a while. They're like, this series has been going for 10 years or 15 years. So just going to call...
That fucking Fast and the Furious series. That's just confusing as hell.
I think there was recently a Halloween movie that was just called Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these long-running franchises, they'll just kind of throw the title back out there just to kind of get everyone interested. Because it's hard to be, like, to tell somebody, like, go see, you know...
Scream 5.
Saw 8. When it's like, I don't think I've seen Saw 3 through 6.
Halloween Season of the Witch.
Right, yeah, you know, so sometimes it's good to just, like, kind of start over, at least with the naming convention.
Is The Rock in it? That sounds like one of his movies.
Yeah. Season of the Witch, what was that, the third Halloween movie? That had nothing to do with Michael Myers?
Yeah, it's like, there's, like, one called Dream Warriors as well. That's a Nightmare on Elm Street
movie. Oh, okay.
But, yeah, there kind of comes a point where they just start having crazy titles. But anyway, the new Scream movie, I went in, like, kind of expecting it to be okay. I was very pleasantly surprised with this one. I thought it was very good. This is, interestingly enough, Wes Craven is no longer alive. So this is the first movie that's really been made without him writing, directing, producing. This has always been his baby. So this is the first time someone else is sort of taking a stab at it.
Really? I see you did that.
Felt bad about that one. No, but, it's really I really enjoyed this. There's a very loose premise set up that the killers, because there are of course, you know, some murders that are happening. Murderers are afoot. It's in the town that this has kind of always been. Well, technically Scream 3. We watched Scream 3 from our 2000 rewind,
right?
Which I loved. That movie was great. But this one is sort of set back in the town where the first murders occurred. And if you remember, the first murders were the one with Skeet Ulrich and, why can't I think of the other actor's name? Matthew Lillard?
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, it's revealed that the two of them are the killers. You know, and of course, they're after the bloodbath. Come on.
Those 30-year-old movie.
If you haven't seen the original Scream, that's on you. But what is very quickly determined, it's set up very similar to those films, but what is quickly determined is that the people involved in this seem to be the children or in some way related to the original people, which then brings back into the fold the original cast, or at least what remains of the original cast, which is Courtney Cox, Neve Campbell, Dave Arquette.
Those are like the core three. Like, haven't they been in every movie?
I don't even think they were in the fourth one. I don't know if they were in the fourth one.
I don't remember the fourth one.
Yeah, that's kind of a blind spot for me too. You know.
So these are happening. All these, I've never seen a Scream movie.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just not big on horror. Yeah. So are these all happening in different towns or?
The essentially, it's a huge moment that occurs. The events of the first film, Scream, is literally about basically two high school kids that coordinate the murders of a bunch of their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one occurs. There's a Scream 2, and this occurs in the future where the survivors of the first film have now gone on to college, and there is another killer who is after them. And then in the third one is so strange because the third one picks up pretty far down the line after the first. At this point in the third film, what happened to them in the first film is now within their world a movie called Stab, yeah. A really famous mm-hmm. movie series.
Mm.
So like the events that they were a part of, they're now watching happen on the big screen, right? In their world. So they get again looped into another murderer is wearing the ghost face, going around stabbing people on the movie set where they're trying to film Stab. So that's beside the point. What you're going to get, if you go see this new movie Scream, one, it's very tightly filmed. There's a lot of good misdirections and jump scares and tension all throughout. Very clever with how it's delivered. It's a really... Each character has... If you're sitting there with like your little detective notebook wondering like who's the killer in this one, it's so wonderfully fleshed out where you have all of these character arcs and motivations within the core group of people where it's like, God, any one of these could be the killer. Like, they all have perfectly justifiable reasons in your mind for why they could be. And then, you know, you start seeing them in the room with the ghost face. You're like, well, it can't be them. And then it's like, then you kind of realize, like, oh, my God, there's got to be two killers. And then from there, it just sort of opens up to being like, oh, my God, who is it? And then when you get to the end, it's not even really at all. I mean, you know, of course, there are people that make sense that they would be the killers. But there's no way of being like over certain it's this person or this person.
See, that's the best kind of movie when they're like mystery movies like that. And, yeah. But you are able to figure out based on the information they give you throughout the movie.
Yeah.
It's not like when there's like someone shows up at the last minute, be like, I got the knife. It's like, it was him. Like, it's out of nowhere. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Those are the best when you can actually figure it out yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the whole point of the Scream series, from the very first one that Wes Craven made, was that it's a meta film. It's meta filmmaking. He's talking about the conventions of horror while telling you a horror story. So, true to form, this one is the most meta of all of them. It's by far the most self-aware, conscious of a horror film that I've ever seen.
Hmm.
Really good, really smart. This isn't just your typical slasher film that just is going to end up having a high body count of douchebags that you don't like that you want to see get carved up. It's got a lot of interesting characters doing interesting things. All in all, a really tight little horror film. I think they did a very good job with this one. Although I feel like this is gotta be it.
I think they've announced a six already.
Well, at least
Courtney Cox is going to be in the senior home.
Well, it's like, well, I was going to say...
somebody's going to be poisoning their pudding.
Of the original cast members of the first Scream, like, I don't think you can bring any of them back at this point. I just think this is a good enough place to put a button on it for them and carry forward with what remains of these other characters that they've now introduced. So that's my take on it.
Okay.
It's pretty good. All in all, pretty good. Glad I watched it.
Cool.
Do you want me to go with another movie I saw? I saw two other movies I guess I got to talk about real quick.
Wes, you got one?
My movie... I watched Mortal Kombat and Godzilla vs. Kong.
Okay.
They're the dumbest things, but they were... Like, Godzilla vs. Kong was, like...
The new
was Mortal, fun enough.
The new Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
Oh, that movie was so silly.
It was so... It started, like... That first scene, I was like, alright, I have high hopes for this. And then it went to modern day, and I was like, oh, this is going to be such shit.
That the main character guy was so pointless.
He was so bad. He's not even in the game. No. He's some guy they made up for this.
Right. They want to give you, like, here's the main character. You're going to follow him through. He's going to, like, guide you on this journey. He was pointless.
Oh, he was so dumb.
But no, I thought it was dumb fun.
It was. And then at the very end, after they beat the bad guys and they win, the one guy's like, death is meaningless, and they all fade away. You're like, shit, we're going to see those guys again. Mm. They're just going to reuse the same shit.
They used a lot of characters.
They used a lot. It was good. It was fun. And Godzilla versus Kong, the Earth is hollow.
Of course. hollow
and filled with mold. It's called Agartha.
Have you seen it?
No, I've not.
Essentially, the whole premise is they're going into the middle of the Earth to the under, the whatever thing core. In the middle, the core of the Earth, to find Kong a home.
For all you sixth grade geography students, the core.
The core. So because... Kong can have a home so Godzilla won't kill him because they're both alphas. And for some odd reason, there's plenty of light down there and it doesn't say where it's fucking coming from. It's just, here's the ground, and then in the sky, there's an upside down ground. And at some point, gravity reverses it, so now that's your bottom.
Well, there is a theory of the inverse Earth.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not a globe, it's technically inside. We're inside of the Earth looking up at what we perceive to be the outside of the Earth because of the way light reflects from the sun. It's a stupid conspiracy theory. I'm not saying it's real. I'm just saying it's there.
It was
I'm sorry. Weird. I think I just blew a fuse. What the fuck? What are you talking about?
Do you guys remember that game for SNES called Tribal Rage?
No.
It was a fighting game?
I don't know that one, no.
Primal Rage. Did you find as dinosaurs?
Yeah, yeah. But I remember that was a cool thing about it, is that they had these like paragraph long entries, and one of them was from the Hollow Earth. Like, because, you know, of course, they're like, this one lives in the jungles over here, this one lives in the icy mountaintop over here, and then this one's from the Hollow Core of the Earth. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I'm
too bored for that.
Everybody else seems awfully boring now.
Yeah.
I just got a quick movie. Yeah, because we'd already talked about this one. I watched The Tomorrow War, based on your description of it, Wes.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. That movie wasn't, like, as silly as I thought it was going to be. Like, it is, like, very self-serious.
Oh, it is very silly.
Because, well, it's self-serious is what I mean. Like, I didn't think, like, I thought it was going to be, like, more goofy, just in the, like, the dialogue.
Oh, no. They were very serious about this. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're taking this. This kid in high school is going to solve the world's problem.
Right, like, and it kind of, it's such an obvious setup where, like, this kid is obsessed with volcanoes, so, like, well, okay, that's your gun in the first act, and this is going to all come back around, which is fine. It's a pretty well-worn convention. So, but, like, it is, like, very much... a bunch of action sequences strung together. It was a lot more action heavy than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should have had different conception of the movie called The Tomorrow War about how much action there was going to be in it. But I was expecting like more like dumb pseudoscience exchange of all these people. But the movie's about climate change and how aliens are the creepy climate change below the ice that's going to kill us all when we warm up the planet too much. So that holds up to scrutiny just fine.
And then they do that weird thing at the end where they get to the spaceship and you're like, oh, this is like a zoo. Like, who gives a fuck what it is?
There is an entire fourth act. Like, this is a four-act movie that, like, he gets back to the present and he's like, okay, well, now I gotta warn everyone. And there's your logical closure point. Like, he knows what's going to happen, so now they're going to figure it out.
And the government wants nothing with the possible solution to save everyone's life. They're like, oh, we don't care about this.
And once he gets back and, like, they realize they've been here the whole time, like, okay, this is where, like if you want to do a fucking sequel, please don't, but, like, this is where you end it. But, like, oh, no, now we're just going to go find them ourselves, and you have this whole other part where they, like, J.K. Simmons comes back for some reason, and they have this father-son bonding moment, which was not adequately set up at all. No. But they go to, they find that the alien ship. Hopefully there's not two, because that would really fuck this franchise. And they take out the aliens before they ever are able to.
Everything was fine, really, with me. Everything was fine with the movie up until that last fourth.
Right, you were able to suspend your disbelief of what's going on. Like, okay, they're gonna shoot some aliens.
This was fun. This was a good time. And then that fourth act came along and just got to the point where, yeah, this is fine, to... What the fuck are you talking about?
Stop trying to put a bow on this.
He may have found where the aliens are. You can nip this in the bud and prevent this horrible, horrible future. And the government wants nothing to do with this. And they had to, like, find a plane themselves to do it. Like,
I mean, and again, that's
send
like...
Send a team. Who cares?
That's going back to, like, the climate change allegory going on. Where you try to tell the politicians they don't give a fuck.
Like, that's just it was such a weak thing for that, though. That's just such a flimsy thing.
But they set up like this story where, like, you know, he meets his daughter in the future, and the daughter spoils his future for him. Like, he's gonna leave his family and, like, die in a car accident somehow. Which is, of course, like, the laziest way to kill off a character in a movie. It's just like an off-screen car accident. Anyway, and that whole thing, it doesn't get resolved. Like, he's back in the future. It's like, are you still going to leave your family? It doesn't seem like he wants to. What is the sequence of events that leads him up to dangling plot thread? Anyway, we shouldn't think about this movie too hard. It's dumb.
And then he patches things up with his dad. You're like, well, maybe he won't now. But who gives a fuck?
Maybe his dad is the reason he's going to leave his wife. We don't know.
This movie is 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
But what the fuck?
Right.
The aliens are zoo animals. Like, what the fuck, this movie?
I'm sure this isn't an accurate total of how much money this movie made in the end. But, starters, how much do you think this movie cost?
Oh.
200. This has got to be pricey. I was about to say 200 million. I think that might be high.
Yeah, I'm going to go 90.
I'm going to go 120.
You should have stuck with your original instinct. It is 200 million.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, my God.
What was the box office gross?
This movie, like, debuted on Amazon.
Yeah, this was on Prime.
So, the box office couldn't be, like...
$10? Like, I don't fucking know.
A guy, Chris Pratt, went to see his movie. I'm going to say... $60 million.
$8 million.
No. Oh my god.
But I mean, again, that's the thing. It was streamed in over a billion. There was over a billion viewings of it, so people could have just, like, put it on repeat or whatever. But yeah, people with Amazon Prime watched this movie.
Still, that's hilarious.
It's just kind of funny to...
What a fucking faceplant. Holy shit.
Well, yeah.
It was also, like, in the middle of COVID.
It came out in July. Yeah,
we've made
year.
Back 4% of our budget.
Yeah. I mean... Theaters weren't even fucking open, so I mean,
it's a rough time to try to release a movie in July of 2021,
especially one that cost 200 million.
Yeah, July of 2021, that was hot back summer. Everything was going to be great again.
Yeah, we had it all figured out.
What a time to be alive!
Well, the guy that brought us the Lego Batman.
Oh my god, what a film.
So how do you feel about this, John? Are you positive about this film?
I mean, overall, I'm probably more positive on it than I should be. Like, I'm not gonna lie,
I was bored by your description. Like, I just tuned out halfway through you guys telling me what the plot of this movie was.
This sounds so bad.
It looks so garbage.
Like, on paper, like, this is the opposite of communism. Jeez. On paper, it looks like a train wreck. Like...
But like, I was that's why it's the Tomorrow War. So the, God,
don't go into the plot.
Right? No, we're moving on. Ryan, what's your other movie, Ryan? We're getting out of here.
I got two more movies to discuss. I guess one is the first time I had seen it. I hadn't seen this before. It's called Psycho Gorman.
I don't know that one.
It's a weird one. This came out in 2020.
It's about a guy who's named Gorman. I think he's a psycho.
Psycho Gorman. In fact, imagine if it's like if Hellraiser was smashed together with, like, a 90s Nickelodeon's kid movie.
Okay.
What?
Kenan Thompson is Hellraiser.
So
I would watch the shit out of that.
The premise is that this boy and this girl, like, end up uncovering...
Freddy vs. Jason is Kenan and Kel.
Yeah, they uncover, you know, like, the box. Like, the famed box that contains this...
The Pandora's box?
Like, it's... I hate to say it, the thing that this movie is most like is like a live...
Jumanji?
It's like Power Rangers. It's a lot like Power Rangers. It's weird. But it's like an ultra-violent Power Rangers told with the kind of comedic kid's perspective.
Okay.
But like, so basically these two kids are digging around in their backyard and they find this little box and they open up the box and unleash this like galactic horrible monster. That looks kind of like you would expect from a Power Rangers villain.
Just for general context, like, what are we talking about rating? Like, what kind of... Is this a straight-up horror? Like,
they violently murder children in this movie. Okay. It's a hard R film.
Okay.
But if you were watching it, you would think this... It's shot, again, with the aesthetic of, like, a 90s family comedy. So it's just got this kind of jarring juxtaposition of... what the aesthetic of the movie is versus what the content actually is. Oh, and all of these gruesome murders are generally played up for laughs.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, so, child murder. Hilarious.
So essentially what happens is the fact that one of, like, this girl possesses the thing. So rather than, you know, this monster going ape shit and just murdering everybody, as it wants to do, as it says its sole purpose to, is to exterminate all life in the galaxy. It is sort of like her genie, and like the relationship that Aladdin had with Genie, except, you know, the genie wasn't constantly telling Aladdin that the second that he's freed from this vice that he will murder her. But anyway, so yeah.
So Return to Jafar.
yeah. So it's like a lot of madcap shit happens, and there's this intergalactic police, again, that all look like they're various degrees of Power Rangers.
Can she put him back in the box then, if he was her genie?
It's not really about... It's not. I shouldn't call it a box. It's like a gem. It's like this power gem that binds him to whoever has it. If he gets control of it back, that means that he's back in charge of himself. Yeah. So this movie, I don't even know if I would recommend it. It's just so silly and weird. It has its moments. It has its laughs. There's a lot of... There's a small family drama that occurs in the middle of it associated with the parents and the mom and the dad. Where they're trying to sort out their own shit in the middle of trying to prevent this, you know.
How'd you watch it?
Intergalactic war. I don't know where it's streaming. A friend of mine had it on their Plex accounts. I could look that up and see how this came to be.
I watched The Tomorrow War, so I have watched The Tomorrow War, but not The Irishman. That's where I'm at in my life right now. Bring on Psycho Gorman.
I mean, I still got through Tomorrow War too. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, it was weirdly watchable. I mean, I was playing a game on my Switch while I was watching it, so, you know, that might have contributed to my general apathy to the dumbness that was happening on screen.
I don't know how it did this, but apparently, based on 83 reviews, it does have a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
What? I think people really did like how madcap this is. It's kind of like, I mean, it's I don't know, for whatever reason, like... What was it that I saw recently? There was like DC movie where they're killing everybody.
He's wearing a cowboy hat. What the? He's wearing sunglasses and a cowboy hat.
Yeah, there's a part where he has to go undercover, and they put him in an outfit.
That was his undercover outfit. Perfect. Yes. Oh, I would have thought that was just a guy.
It's like Suicide Squad. Like Suicide Squad is beyond camp. It's kind of like that.
So comedy, horror, sci-fi.
Yeah. I don't know. It's people really seem to like it. Even in this little thing, it's sort of like Planet Terror. Did you guys like Planet Terror? I don't know if you
what the
that.
Hell.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so, the Robert Rodriguez Grindhouse.
Yeah, I mean, in the way that that's trying to go for, it's not trying to be down to earth, realistic. So neither is this. So I saw that, and I also rewatched. I'll go on to my next movie and the last movie I want to talk about. I rewatched Nice Guys. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It really was. I was glad that I revisited. I just forgot how good of a movie that really was. This is the one that has our boy Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling in it, and they are two PIs in the 70s who have found themselves wrapped up in the murder of a porn star that relates to vehicle commission or emissions in the 70s, like the smog in LA. These two just make such a wonderful tandem. It's very well written. It's made by this guy, Shane Black, and Shane Black also made Lethal Weapon. He knows his way around making good buddy cop detective films. You wouldn't suspect it, but the two of them really do have just such wonderful chemistry together. Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. And his daughter is sort of in the mix. She's probably 10 years old or something. Maybe 10 or 11 years old. And she sort of gets kind of sneaks along in the story as well with them. So we just totally recommend that movie. Absolutely worth seeing.
Cool. I just see another movie aside from The Tomorrow War. I watched Nightmare Alley, the Guillermo del Toro.
I haven't seen it yet, but yeah.
It's pretty good. It's definitely a different flavor. I guess it's a remake of a movie from 1947.
Okay.
So real damn old. But... Yeah, it's not like when you think of a Guillermo del Toro movie, you think of something like Pan's Labyrinth, where it has these really outlandish and often grotesque, horrifying creatures in it, and you have a setting that's very tense. And you think that's where the movie is going to go, because Bradley Cooper is the main character. He's kind of like this drifter who ends up getting some temporary work that becomes permanent work at like a traveling carnival or a traveling circus. And they have like this sort of old-timey, exploitative sort of displays and attractions. Like, here, meet the freak guy who, you know, eats chickens and sucks their blood and bites off their heads. And here's this this contortionist man who twists himself in all these different positions. So they just
freak show stuff.
Yeah, going and seeing a freak show. So, you know, you think it's set up for Guillermo del Toro to just sort of like go wild and bring in like all this sort of like supernatural and horrifying stuff into it. But that's not where the movie goes. He becomes like this grifter, a guy who uses a lot of cold reading, sort of like, if you remember, like John Edwards, the guy was like, I can talk to spirits and put you in touch with your loved ones. And South Park did a whole parody of the thing. It becomes like that sort of person within the circus and strikes it out on his own and gets tangled up with a Cate Blanchett character who's setting him up with like these rich people who he is then conning into getting a lot of money that way. And sort of how things sort of unravel in his life to the point where, you know, he's putting himself into grave danger by continuing on these grifts. Mm-hmm. I think I don't want to get too much into spoilers. But the movie doesn't sort of conclude in a way that I thought that was well set up or satisfying. Anyway, when you see what you think. I don't want to get any deeper into it than that.
Okay.
I was a little bit like taken aback by some of the decisions or some of the things that characters end up doing by the end.
Was the version you saw in color?
Yes.
I think this is what I'm saying. The version that's now in theaters is black and white.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I forget what movie. There was a movie that was like that a number of years ago that they released it. It's like a Frank Darabont made it.
Free Willy?
No, it was not Free Willy. That would have been interesting in black and white. Mm-hmm. No, I can't think of it. Yeah, it was like a fog and aliens were killing people with tentacles.
Oh, was it just like the fog or the mist?
Maybe it was the mist. Yeah, that's what it was.
They released it in black and white as well.
They did.
Frank Darabont. Yeah, he initially intended it to be in black and white.
It was like Thomas Jane and some other people.
He wanted it to resemble films like this of the 40s. Mm. So,
That was very much like an old timey movie where you have like the monsters and you get like little glimpses like the tentacles and stuff here and there. But it was more about like the conflict and the one like crazy fundamentalist who's in the convenience store with them telling that they all need to repent and submit to the monster or they're all going to die.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really stoked about this. Oh yeah, and it's apparently they just a couple of days ago announced the Oscar nominees. Mm. And I'm like, wow, I've seen a lot of movies, but that was a weird list of movies.
I've not even looked at them yet.
I don't know, like,
yeah, Psycho Garmin's on there.
The Tomorrow War.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, like, but Nightmare Alley is on the list, so I mean, I wanted to see it. But yeah, there wasn't really a lot of other. There were a couple of other noteworthy films of like their list of 10 best pictures, but a lot of them were just like really obscure stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a general sentiment about Academy Awards where people want it to reflect what is more about like what is the box office success, what like are the things that people want to see, and they want to like have the movies they want to root for to be in the running for these awards. And it's not really what it is. It's people who actually do the job nominating what they think is the best stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're always right, but I don't want like a democratized selection of best cinematography, so best editing.
You don't think Angry Birds and the Emoji Movie should ever see a top?
If they want to democratize like best film,
yeah,
like best actor, like really broad categories like that. But why the fuck would I want anyone voting for best screenplay?
I think there should be a healthy balance. But it's like when you see this list of movies and you're like, nobody watched that fucking movie.
Mm.
Like, why?
There has to
come a point where, like, actual impact to the audience means something.
Mm. There's a lot of, like, masturbatory stuff about, like, a lot of things they nominate for different categories. And sometimes things just don't make sense. Like, that Avatar, that James Cameron movie was nominated for Best Cinematography. It was animated. There was no camera.
Yeah.
So how did that win cinematography?
Fair point.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Also, Raised by Wolves Season 2 is out. Big thumbs up. Yeah. Raised by Wolves.
Nice.
Crazy show.
Yeah.
Batshit nuts. Guys got any other topics that we need to address before we close it out here? There's no baseball to talk about.
Yeah. There is sports stuff happening.
Yeah?
I mean, well, this weekend is Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, that's true.
Who's in it?
You got Cincinnati Bengals, who are, like, it's crazy that they're in this. They won
good for them.
Four games last year. they, what was it? They were the third best betting odds to make it to win the Super Bowl. Meaning there were only two other teams that were perceived as worse than them, or least, or less likely to wind up in the Super Bowl. Something to the tune of, I think, like, if you put down $100, you would have gotten, like, $15,000 back.
God.
Yeah. So there's probably some Cincinnati faithful that could get make some really real money here if they were to actually pull this thing off.
Gotta love the long shot.
Yeah. And it's really not even that the Bengals are that bad. It's just that they're in one of the toughest divisions. They're in the AFC North alongside... Well, the Browns, who are actually pretty good right now, the Steelers and the Ravens. The Ravens had an amazing team, but were just done in by injuries. The Steelers, Big Ben, Ben Roethlisberger, he's decided he's done playing football. He's retiring after this year, and he's just going to go corner women.
He's going to go back to just full-time creep.
Yeah. God. Yeah, he's going to try and that misconnection with Stormy Daniels. He's going to try and get that back going. And the Browns are an interesting thing. I want to like the Browns because they had such a bad team for so many years, but right now they're kind of struggling. And their quarterback was injured for like the last third of the year, so it's really hard to say what was going on with them. At any rate, you got the Bengals there on one side, and the other team is the LA Rams, who, like, nobody likes the Rams. Even in Los Angeles, they don't give a shit about the Rams. Like, they literally hosted a game against the 49ers, for the NFC Championship, like the Final Four, essentially, right? These are the two teams that one of these two teams is going to make it to the Super Bowl, and it was like 65% Niners fans in the stadium in Los Angeles. They didn't sell out the game.
Does LA have two teams now, or they just have the Rams?
Yeah, they got them and the Chargers. The joke is that the Chargers are the fourth most popular football team in LA because they also have the USC Trojans and the UCLA. I don't know what the fucking
Cougars,
the
nerds,
whatever. Yeah,
wasn't that like a basketball joke? Like back in the day, like the Raiders moved to LA and then back to Oakland. No one in LA noticed.
Yeah. LA just doesn't give a shit about. Like, and again, their team is in the fucking Super Bowl and they don't give a shit.
I thought the Chargers were in San Diego. Did they leave?
They were, but yeah, they've been in LA for 2 years now.
I'm out of touch.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a really dumb move, financially a very stupid decision as well.
Yeah.
Because the Charger fan base was very loyal to them, in spite of the fact that the Chargers have accomplished fucking nothing. They've actually wasted the career of a number of really, really talented athletes. But yeah, so that's what you got. Like, so it's sort of like, and the LA Rams are loaded with a lot of, like, star talent. Like, you know, the big star players are on that team. Like, guys like Von Miller, Aaron Donald. They picked up Matt Stafford, whose career was basically wasting away in Detroit. He's actually a very good quarterback, so now he's there. And the best receiver in the NFL, the guy that had like the triple crown for like completions, yards, and touchdowns, was this guy Cooper Kupp. So he's on the team.
That's a baseball name. What's he doing?
He really should play baseball. You know, I bet you he was probably... who was that pitcher that pitched for the Royals for all those years? That was really weird. Can't help me with that. Sorry.
No, I'm drawing a blank. Relief pitcher or starter?
No, because he... No, shit. He was friends with... He grew up and went to high school with Matt Stafford.
Oh, man.
I think it was.
I don't know.
Why can't... Greinke. Zach Greinke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know who...
He's with... I think he's with Houston now.
Yeah.
Then anyway. They say Houston Cheaters.
Yeah, the Houston Cheaters.
Yeah, he bounced around a bit.
So... At any rate...
For a bit.
Yeah. It's an interesting matchup. I think most people... It's only like a 3-point spread, like for people that care about spreads or whatever. It just means it's going to be a pretty close game. Most people are predicting a close game. So it's sort of like, do you have this team of veterans that have never won anything? They're like, now's our fucking chance. This is it. This is our chance. Or like this, you know, hotshot team playing on house money that's been just...
In front of other people's fans.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. LA is actually going to be hosting it too.
Mm.
But there are sales rules where it's like a certain number gets sold to both teams, so you can't have an unfair advantage in the stadium. And like last year when the Buccaneers won, they played in Tampa as well. Oh, by the way, Tom Brady retired.
Yeah, he sure
Tom Brady's done playing
yeah,
football.
It's so, so sad.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him to play to lose 50.
Yeah.
just because so many people dislike the guy. I want to be a big old troll and have him keep on winning until he was 50.
He has more Super Bowls than any franchise. That's my favorite stat. He has more Super Bowl wins than any franchise.
They should rename the Patriots the New England Bradys.
Yeah, and that's the only way that stat could be true is the fact that he ended up winning one in Tampa.
Yeah.
And by the way, he was playing lights out in that division game. They lost. They could have gone to... He on a scoring drive, tied the game up. 27-27. And then they gave up a play on defense that led to a field goal. And that's why you now have the Rams in the Super Bowl. If the Bucs could have just pulled off, if they could have stopped that, they would have gone to overtime and given Tom Brady potentially a chance to take them to the Super Bowl. So again, this isn't like a guy who's like Ben Roethlisberger, who's clearly just done. He's just got nothing left in the tank. He's over. Like, Tom Brady's playing some of the best football of his career right now. And he's hanging up the Spurs.
The YouTube algorithm recommended, it clearly knows me, because it recommended a video of some reporter who, like, for the past 10 years has been, like, every year saying Tom Brady's done, he's got nothing left, he's a bad quarterback now. Yeah. So it's like 2012.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, he's just like, keeps on playing for another 10 years, making this guy look like a fool every year.
Yeah.
It's like, you know that I like people... who look foolish. Yeah. Well done, computer.
I bet it's a guy named Chris Broussard. And there's maybe. This guy, he's a goatee. There's this guy, Chris Broussard, that has been a long time.
I think it was Jason something.
All right, wasn't a goatee. He just put on a fake mustache. After he got kicked out.
Yeah, like, they took it off. Like, no, I said Tom Brady's great. I don't know who that other guy was.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know Chris Broussard is a guy that's kind of shit top. It's like Tom Brady for a long, long time. And there are things about Tom Brady that, like, make him not a good quarterback. The fact that he's, like, totally immobile. He is a turret. He is designed to just stand there and throw the
football. Just a modified howitzer.
He is a modified howitzer. Yeah, yeah. But that's what makes him so smart, is that he's lived four lifetimes of football. Like, your average quarterback does not play plays for like five years.
Hmm.
The fact that he was able to start for like 20 years means he's seen it all. Like, there's really not much that can happen with 11 guys on the other side of the line that he hasn't seen before or been able to adjust. So that's kind of what made as sort of...
now he's going to go coach the little league.
I don't know what he's going to do. He's probably just going to just fucking bang his supermodel wife and go let her make all the money for the family now.
Living the dream.
I think this is why we hate him.
We don't hate him. No, I mean, his political views are allegedly not all that great, but
he
wants to build another wall. Well, <'cause laughs> to reinforce the existing.
He's
going to
right above Canada at this point. He's going to.
That's the that's
the cross hockey loving bastards.
He has this this associated with him because he actually had a MAGA hat behind him in a press thing.
Right.
And last it came up, he basically, like, once like Trump was undergoing the impeachment stuff, not even for the first or second time. Yeah, I think he was basically distancing from him. He's like, I really don't give a shit about politics. Like, I think was his sort of general thing was like, I'm not getting
into this. I think you need to, like, do a hard denouncer. Obviously, criminal president committed some obvious crimes.
Right. So, again.
Turns shoving documents down the toilet.
That was the centerpiece. That was, like, the centerpiece complaint about Hillary Clinton was that you couldn't trust her security with classified documents. Right. And Trump clogged the toilet.
Wes, you don't pay attention to the news. But our obvious criminal former president committed obvious crimes. And oh my, nothing's gonna happen because nothing's ever happened because everything is fucked.
But
this guy, so presidential documents, like official correspondence, memos, all this stuff. This is, like, it doesn't belong to him. Like, the country didn't become his business when he became president. but he tried to run it like his business.
Well, they literally employ people to secure the documents and keep them.
Right. Like, they belong to us.
Yeah.
Like, the documents, like, they're not his documents. They're our documents. So there are
people... We are his employer.
So there are people in the government who, like, when there's government documents, they take them and they archive them. We have a national archive. This guy was treating our documents,
yes,
like they were his business papers, and having them shred and shove them down the toilet, clogging toilets.
He literally clogged a toilet with documents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yes. For the love of God.
How dumb are you to even think that would work?
What sort of other obvious crimes is he doing at his obvious criminal business?
I mean... The only way it would be less effective is that you just simply threw the documents out a window. Like, that's the only way you could be less effective than clogging a toilet.
There is literally presidential archives where, you know, like, if Barack Obama has an important letter that he sends to a dignitary or something, they will put it in the archive. There's literally going to be taped together documents from Trump because he rips the paper up.
And we will forever know. Like, we'll just be able to glance at a document and see that's water saying, like, oh, yeah, from the Trump years.
Yeah, he was using those burn bags. They were literally shoving documents into these papers and sending them to Mar-a-Lago to burn them.
He stole our shit. He stole our shit. That's our shit. And that's not where it goes. You don't get to bring it to your fucking illegal golf club that you voted from, you non-resident piece of shit motherfucker. That's ours. Stop stealing our shit. I want it back.
So yeah, like, again, it's just the hypocrisy. Just that, like, they will just stare in your face and be like, yeah, but Hillary's emails.
Yeah, she was using a private, which she shouldn't have done. Shouldn't have used a private server. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, but she wouldn't flush any emails down the toilet.
Right.
You know?
Or was she? We don't know. But he obviously did. But yeah. We caught him. Caught him brown-handed. Oh my god,
this is so terrible.
Oh, we're so fucked.
Good lord.
Alright, I think we're done. Are we done?
I hope we are. Do you want to talk about Rudy Giuliani? No. in his efforts to falsify the paperwork from the states when they certify the ballots, right?
Oh,
like,
my God.
All of the electors. Like, he had this scheme that he wanted to get all of the other ones to submit fake forms.
Yeah,
they certify Trump as the winner, regardless of the outcome of the vote.
And then they were just trying to get people to steal voting machines, or like, oh, get the Justice Department just to take the voting machines in these places. They won't do it. Okay, get the army to take the voting machines from the places. No, they won't do it, which neither of them should. They can't. And then they just started, like, contacting randos in the states. They found, like, a state prosecutor in Michigan. They're like, hey, we need you to go take those machines. And first of all, he was like, no. And second of all, I can't. And
by the way, who are these people?
I'm officially broken.
Yeah. Wow.
No one's ever going to see a jail cell.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
You know, you think about it, it's like January 2017, we're like, this is going to be bad. And here we are, 5 years later, and we're like, wow, it was way worse.
Right, like, right. And
we had no idea just how truly corrupt and incompetent this guy was.
In like the summer of 2017, year one, I was talking with Dad, like, there's no way this guy lasts a term. Like, he's leaving the White House in handcuffs. Oh my God, this guy is up to some shit. And goes the whole term, twice impeached.
Right.
Stuffing documents down the toilet. And
calls Kim Jong-un Rocket Man.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And then they become best friends.
Gets COVID.
He got COVID.
You know? Like, think about what's going on right now with Ukraine and Russia. And think that there was a time where he was trying to pit Ukraine against Russia to make them fall and have Russia an easy way to come in and take the nation. Like,
we can make a documentary of this and people will think it's comedy.
Right. No one's going
to
believe
that's what
this.
I've seen that so many comments so many times when it comes to these news articles where it's like, I cannot believe this headline, where they're like, you know, it's like, even House of Cards wouldn't come up with something this comical. Like, it's true. It's truth is stranger than fiction. You know,
I was at work the other day, and I forget, I was talking to my buddy Nate at work, and He was talking about how, like,
as long as it's not Hector,
other generations like have like lived through all this stuff, and like we didn't really have anything, like the millennial generation, the people who were in their like 30s and late 20s at this point. Like, Nate, what are you talking about? We had a financial crisis just as we were entering the job market.
We had the Forever War.
We have the
war in Afghanistan and Iraq.
We have the Forever War. And we had that fucking game show host as a president for 4 years. Like,
yeah,
we're going to be telling our grandkids shit, and they're going to be like, you're a fucking crazy person. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, no. Seriously.
Yeah.
He was orange, and his hair was all...
Should we tell them about the various mass shootings that occur? You know, like the
heart... Except his eyes. His eyes were very white.
Well, they're still going to be doing school shooting drills. They'll know about those.
Yeah.
Next up is the retro show. We're going to talk about good times again.
Yeah. Although even then, I think we only got 7 more months of good times.
Right? Oh, God. There are a couple of games that are going to be worth talking about. Paper Mario for the N64. There's also a Game Boy Color game. I couldn't find anything on other systems, but we also got Hannibal.
Yeah, we'll talk about Hannibal.
Which, oh God, that is a gruesome movie. Holy shit.
I actually still haven't seen it yet. I was planning to watch Silence of the Lambs before watching it, too, as kind of a refresher, but I think I may just skip that. If I haven't seen one, why am I trying to see both?
Mm. Well, Silence of the Lambs is really good.
Yeah. It is. I've seen it before, but it's fantastic. But and anyway, yeah, we got that. Whole slew of albums.
Yeah.
Albums we can talk about. I'll give some quick hits on most of them, though.
You got any, like, standout ones that come to mind real quick?
Yes. Propagandis, Today's Empires, Tomorrow's Ashes is one of my all-time favorite punk albums. It's actually, there's like 7 punk albums that came out, but that, the Dropkick Murphys one is really, really strong.
Sing Loud, Sing Proud.
There is a ambient artist named Patrick O'Hearn. He releases one of the most beautiful albums ever recorded. We'll talk about it then. The only big hits, like the ones that at least went platinum, there's a Dave Matthews Band record called Every Day.
I think that was just a single. I think the full album comes out later in the year.
I
think.
Okay.
If not, that's okay. We can talk about Every Day.
Okay, cool. The Jack Johnson. There's this guy that makes like coffee shop music named Jack Johnson. That we'll talk about his record. Hmm. Alongside like 20 other records, there's tons and tons of music.
Yeah, the Ataris had one.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna do it, Wes. We will make you listen to a record.
We're gonna do it.
I'm gonna listen to the Dropkick Murphy one.
You should. Yeah,
I like Dropkick Murphy.
Sing Loud, good. Sing Proud.
Yeah,
it's damn good. That really is a good record.
So, and then we'll wrap it off with at the end of the month with the official show. That's it. The end.
So long.
Later. Thank you.